Well, it's good to see my brother Ken and his wife back from their trip in Honduras. And I know it's always a cultural change when you go like from that place to here and back or whatever. I know my brother, hopefully he'll be able to switch the Spanish out and speak English to us tonight. So I'm waiting forward to hear what he has to say. So I give to you now our brother Ken Orr.
Thank you, Gordon. Well, it's good to be back. We sang a song in a song service called I Need Jesus. What a true statement that is. We need Him every day, perhaps more some days than others. I feel I stand in need of the Lord's blessings this evening. When I come back from a trip to a foreign country, I tend to coast for a couple of days, and Brother Bob wouldn't let me do that this time. So hopefully the Lord will bless me as I deliver the message that I feel He placed upon my heart this morning. Like I said, it's good to be back. When you go to a foreign country, especially a developing third world nation, you quickly realize how blessed we are in this nation. As soon as you step off the airplane at a airport in another land, you quickly see that they're not like us. Poorer, less educated. Not that they're not blessed, but we have been truly blessed by the hand of the Lord. As you go to a foreign country and experience the working of God's Spirit amongst His people, it's obvious that God is moving to fulfill His covenants in these last days. When Brother Jay and I were in Honduras last October, we went to several places that we didn't even know existed. Brother Jay and I and Ronnie traveled 2.5-3 hours to a small village. Had a contact there. And it was God that opened the door. It wasn't Ronnie that went out and searched the contact. It wasn't any of us that went out and searched it. It was kind of placed in our laps. So God is moving to fulfill His covenants. I noticed one thing when I was on this trip, and I've noticed it before, but it's easier to serve God here than any place else in the world. You know, we get up on a Sunday morning, unless we didn't pay our utility or our water bill, we don't have to light a candle to see what we're doing. We can step into a nice warm shower. They don't do that in most buildings and most houses in another country. Now, if we forgot to get milk, we can jump in our car and drive to the closest convenience store and get what we need. In Honduras, for example, they can't do either one. They can't get into their vehicle or they can't go to the convenience store because they have neither one. We have indoor plumbing. We have carpet on their floor or tile. They don't have indoor plumbing. They don't have carpet. They don't have tile. Most of them have dirt floors. We walk a half a block to church. Or if it looks like it might rain, we may drive that half a block to church. Those of us who may live further away, we get in our air-conditioned car and we drive to church. Some may not come every Sunday because it's too far. How many of us? On a Sunday morning, we'd get up and get dressed and walk from here to Union Hills and the freeway to attend church. Yeah. Would we do that? Or climb to the top of North Mountain twice a week to attend services? Would we do that? We have brothers in Honduras and sisters who walk 2.5 hours to attend church. And it's not flatland walking. It's up and downhill, and it's a rough road. We have brothers and sisters who twice a week walk 45, 50 minutes over the mountains to attend church. They walk in 90-degree temperatures, high humidity. They walk in the rain. They're dedicated. They're dedicated to the gospel. Not everybody down there would do it, I grant you. But many do that every week. Physically, it's easier to serve in this nation. Spiritually, we might say it's perhaps more difficult to serve God in this country. You know, both cultures, and I'm talking of Honduras right now, but every place you go in the world, doesn't matter. All cultures have the same weaknesses and the same temptations. There's no difference. There's no difference in human beings. We all have the same weaknesses. We all have the same temptations. But you know, we have a much easier access to the vices of the world. We can turn on the TV or access the internet, and it's there. If we allow it in our homes, it is there. They don't have, for the most part, that easy access. But they struggle with life the same as we do. Both cultures have to overcome that humanness, that human person, one like the other. We're blessed. And because we're blessed, God expects quite a bit from us. We've been given the burden of being those nursing fathers and mothers to God's ancient covenant people. We are at this time in history being given the responsibility of taking that gospel to the nations of the world, especially to His covenant people, His chosen people. We've been given that responsibility. People are hungering and thirsting for the gospel. You know, I mentioned that when Jay and I were down there in October, we went to the village of Agua Fria. There's 20 or 30 homes in this village. We'd never been there. Our contact was a sister in the church in another local in Honduras. Her brother's a Pentecostal preacher. And we went to see him. He was a little discouraged with the way things were in the Pentecostal movement, and he was the one we went to see. So we got there, and his mother, he lives right beside his mother, and that's where we stayed, at his mother's place. So we went and visited several families in this village before we had a service. That evening, Brother Ronnie preached a sermon. And the next day, we left. One of the families that we visit there was, let's put it this way, when I first saw him, I said, this is the most unlikely candidate for the Church of Christ I've seen in Honduras. He was, they live close to a river, and he makes most of his income panning for gold. And on a good day, he will make $10 to $15. That would be, and does it a couple days a week. But that's a good living in Honduras, actually. But anyway, he'd just come back from panning for gold. Had a missing finger on one hand, and was dirty. He'd just been down in the river digging in the sand, and he was unshaven and had his old clothes on, but invited us in, friendly. Well, he came to the service that night, and he cleaned up really good. He shaved, he bathed, and he put on clean clothes, and he came to the service. So anyway, Jay and Ronnie and I left, and Jay and I came back to the States, and a couple weeks later, Ronnie went back. Oh, by the way, we also went to another village while we were there at the same time and had services. So Ronnie went back a couple weeks later, had two more villages that he had invitations to go to. Had a meeting with the people in the Agua Fria, and the guy, gold panner, came to church. You know, after the service, he came up to Ronnie and he said, Brother Ronnie, next time you come, I'm going to get baptized. Well, Ronnie looked at him and says, next time I come, we'll talk about it. No, he says, the next time you come, I'm getting baptized. And Ronnie says, the next time he went, him and his son got baptized. They're strong, faithful members. Hungering and thirsting for the truth. This time we went to four villages in that area. I don't know what's going to happen. But Ronnie says he's had invitations to go to two or three other villages that he doesn't have time to go to. He doesn't want to go because he says, I don't know if I can go back. He says, I'm not going to go start a work if I can't finish it. We go to this other village, and it's 3.5-hour drive up into the mountains. Probably no more than 20 miles. It's not very far, but the roads are rough. It's four-wheel drive. If you don't have four-wheel drive, you just don't even think about it. This year, it was easier. They built a new road, and I use that word loosely. They took a bulldozer, and they just bulldozed a trail on the side of the mountain. If we had a good rainstorm over there, I don't know if we would have got back or not. Anyway, we drove up, and used to be, last time Jay and I went, we drove the 3.5 hours, then we walked 1.5 hours down one side of the mountain and up the other. This time, it was only a 10-minute walk. There's a brother and a sister there, two members. But they're dedicated. They're dedicated. In a little village of Ocalee. They got about 12 or 14 members. But they're out every day. They're talking to their friends, their neighbors, their relatives. They're building a church. Now, I know when they build that church, they're going to double their efforts to get people to come. They're hungering and thirsting, and people will come. They will come. Another little community called Upper River, and this is where the people walk the 45 minutes to come to church Sunday morning in Ocalee, across the mountains. There's a man there with 11 children. He's baptized. Wouldn't surprise me if the whole family shortly will be baptized. The Lord has blessed him. He stands and testifies that the Lord has blessed him. 11 children, He's the only one making an income, and not very much. But he testifies that he has more than most people. Solomon told us that the whole duty of man is to serve God. Part of that serving is obviously to be as pure as we can be, to be the example to the world, to worship God, to serve Him, to love Him. But with that, part of our duty, part of our responsibility is to be prepared to take the gospel to the world. So with a few of these thoughts in mind, what is my responsibility? What's my responsibility in taking this gospel to the world? Not everybody is going to be a missionary. That's not what God's going to do. But what is my job? Not everybody's going to be the pastor. You know, we all are going to have different responsibility, but what is my responsibility in the gospel? Their responsibility is going to be to support the work financially. That's part of it. But whatever it is that God wants us to do, each of us must base the decisions of our lives on God's purpose for us. Some of us may know what God's purpose is. Some of us may not. If we know, what are we doing to prepare for that service? If God has talked to us, has spoken to us, has given us an insight into what He wants us to do, what are we doing to prepare for that service? If we don't know, if we have no idea what God wants us to do, what are we doing to find out? What are we doing to know God's will? You may say, well, I've been praying about this for years and God hasn't answered me. Perhaps He hasn't. But if He hasn't, there's a reason. There's a reason why God hasn't answered. Perhaps He already has. Are we listening? Are we in tune to God's voice? Are our lives in such an order that He can speak? Are our hearts in such tune to God that we recognize His voice or we will listen? Perhaps God has spoken and we're afraid. Afraid of what He's told us. Perhaps He's spoken and Satan enters in and does everything he can to keep us from accomplishing God's will. Perhaps we have preconceived ideas as to what God wants us to do. Perhaps you're thinking, well, why would God use me? I can understand Him using brother or sister so-and-so, but I'm a nobody. Why would He ever use me? But God can and will use whom He chooses. Do we allow Satan to steal our time, our thoughts, our desires, so we can't serve? And it's time to stand. It's time to stand up and be counted in this gospel work. Time to look beyond this small space that we live in and think and pray about the work that lies ahead. You know, it's important. I'll tell you. Our daily activities are important. We have to make a living. We have to have food. We have to have clothing. We have to have a place to live. We have to care for the needs of life. We do. But that's not the important thing in life. As important as they are, that is not the important thing. The important thing in life is our service to God. The important thing in life is God's purpose for us. The important thing is taking this gospel to the ancient covenant people. That's the important thing. Important thing is to know what God wants us to do. Are we basing all our decisions on the work of the gospel? Or are we basing our decisions on my personal needs? Are we basing our decisions on whether my career will help the church expand? Can I financially help the gospel be spread? Will my career allow me to be available for God's work? Am I preparing myself for God's work? Whatever and wherever that may be. Or are we allowing Satan to allow us to be caught up in the daily struggles of life? Are we allowing our emotions to dictate our decisions? We make decisions every day that affect the rest of our lives. Some are bigger and smaller than others, but the decisions that we make each day affect our service, affect our ability to serve, affect our availability to serve. I have a few questions, perhaps, that I'd like to pose. I don't know if they're really questions or not, but something to think about our service. But first of all, I want to point out a spiritual law. And I want you to keep this law in mind every day. It's found in Romans in the 7th chapter and the 21st verse. Romans chapter 7, verse 21, it says, this is Paul speaking, he says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Don't ever forget that. That when we desire to do something good, evil is present. Satan doesn't want us to accomplish it. If God tells us to do something, Satan doesn't want us to accomplish that. He is going to do everything he can to destroy us. When we desire to do God's will, Satan is there to try to stop us. So don't be surprised if God reveals something to you and all of a sudden Satan's on you like green on grass. Don't be surprised. We may get bombarded on every side as never before because God has asked us to do something that's important. And Satan doesn't want us to accomplish that. Satan wants to stop God's will from happening, both in our personal lives and in the work of the gospel. So when we desire to do good, evil is always present. So has God given us direction? And then doubt enters in that he even spoke to us. You know, do we sometimes, maybe that wasn't God that was speaking. Are we not sure if it was God's voice or our own? Doubt enters. That's a tool of Satan, doubt. We doubt God's word. We doubt whether he spoke to us. Because sometimes he'll speak to us and then weeks or months will pass and he's silent. And we begin to doubt. When God speaks to us, there's a peace. There is a peace at the very moment that He speaks. That wisdom that comes from God is always peaceable. James chapter 3, verse 17. James 3, 17, he says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." It is peaceable. Now, when God directs us, at that moment that He speaks to us, there's a peace. There's a peace that can only come from Him. Now, that road to accomplish that may not always be filled with that peace, because we have doubt and we fear. We have times of fear and we have times of doubt. But we have to fight it. Times of trial and times of temptation. Remember, when we desire to do good or God tells us to do something, evil is present. Satan's going to look at us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what he can do. And he's going to work and he's going to work. But you know, if we can return in our minds to the time that God spoke to us, that moment when he revealed his will, and know that it was him, then we can have that confidence. When we go back in our minds to that time that God first spoke, and remember his peace. But if we can't go back and remember that peace, if we didn't have that complete peace, then perhaps we need to question, was it of God? It's necessary to have patience when we have God's direction. Because sometimes he does speak and he's silent for a while. Or at least we think he is. But if we have that knowledge, we have that assurance, we have that peace that lies within, God spoke to me, and nobody can ever take that from me, then we can have the confidence that He will see us through every temptation and every trial. I think we all remember testimony of a young sister who had a question about college. You know, God's will in her life might not have necessarily been her first choice. But once she yielded to the power of God, she had a peace. She knew it was God that spoke to her. Another young lady was told to return to college. Had a peace. Had a complete peace. You know, and both their roads may be difficult from time to time, but knowing God's will, they can do it. They can do it because they know they did God's will. Discernment. We need to pray for it. We need to pray. If we're not sure, let's pray for discernment. Was that you, God? And He will tell us. He will give us that knowledge. It's a gift that we all have access to. Pray for it. Plead for it. If you're not sure. Are we willing to obey? Once we know God's will, are we willing to obey? Our sister had no peace until she was willing to obey. She then had that peace. I've heard statements similar to this many times. I cannot be happy unless... And you can fill in the blanks. Or this is what I want to do. This is my will. This is my desire. This is what I want to do in my life. When we ask God for direction, we must be willing to obey. Must be willing to do what He says. May not be what we want, It may be hard. It may require some patience. It may require some dedication. It may require time. God may have something in mind that we never thought of. Some of my greatest blessings in life has been when God has kind of whacked me in the side of the head. Hit me with something I wasn't even thinking about or expecting. We have to be ready for God to speak. Be ready to look someplace else that we've never thought. Remember, we're looking at the big picture. We're not just looking at tomorrow. We're not just looking at what I can do next week. We're looking at the big picture. We're looking at our service. And it may be next week that God will use us. It may be next year. It may be 10 years. We don't know. But everything that we do, every decision that we make has to be preparing us for that service. That service may be here. We don't know. But whatever it is, it's important. It's part of the puzzle. It's part of God's working. So we have to allow God to direct us and to prepare us for that service. Don't just look for doors to be opened. You know, we say, well, God will open this door. He'll open this door if it's what He wants me to do. You know, sometimes He slams doors in our face. He will close a door. We're working towards this, and all of a sudden, bang, He slams that door. Those closed doors aren't necessarily failures. They're God keeping us from doing something wrong. There's God's way of directing us down a path that He wants us to go until He leads us to where we're supposed to be. And sometimes it means the doors of opportunity are closed. We may think it's a great thing. And God closes the door. He doesn't allow it to happen. But we have to be willing. You know, God, don't let me do this if it's not Your will. And bang, He may close that door. He may say, okay. He may be directing us away from a path He doesn't want us to be on. Do we rely on our own wisdom instead of God's? In Proverbs, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Sometimes we can think that what we're doing is right, but it may end up not so good. We have thoughts and desires that many times seem right. Many times in our own minds are great wisdom. But our wisdom is so much less than God's. If we put our lives in His hand and our thoughts and our desires and our decisions, He will guide us. There's no question about it. There's no question. We have to have that faith. But don't let our own goals and ambitions cloud God's direction. It's not wrong to have goals. It's not wrong to have ambitions. It's not wrong to have direction in life. But let's keep an open mind and allow God to direct those thoughts and those ideas and those goals. Do we have things in our life that would hinder God speaking to us or allowing Him to use us? Of course, the obvious ones, we have sin in our life. Is there sin in our life that would prevent God speaking to us or using us? If there is, we need to take care of it. We need to get rid of it. How can we expect God to speak to us or answer our prayers if we're walking opposite of His will? It's time to look at our lives and see how we're measuring up to God's standard for us. If we're allowing the cares of this life to hinder God's work, it's time to get busy to take care of them. I'm going to read the parable of the sower. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Starting at verse 5. Luke 8, verse 5. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand." Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which when they hear receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. This is the one I wanted to point out. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they, which when they have heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Let's not let the cares of this life choke the word. But that on the good ground are they which are in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. You know, those cares and those pleasures don't just affect us in the United States. They affect our brothers and sisters in Mexico and Honduras and Africa, the Philippines. It doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have. They're as affected by the cares of life as we are. It's just as difficult for them as it is for us. Their cares may be a little different than ours. Their care may be, where am I going to get food for tomorrow? Their pleasures may be a little different. But they all have them. They all have the cares of life. Do we ask amiss? When we pray, do we ask amiss? James chapter 4. James chapter 4, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amiss, in a wrong way, improperly. Don't pray to consume it upon what we want, what our desire is, what we want to do for God. We need to pray, God, use me. If there's things in my life that hinder my service, show me. If there's things in my life that would be opposite of you, reveal them to me. Give me the strength to overcome, that I can be a better servant, that I can walk that path more righteously than I did yesterday. Let's be patient. Let's be patient before God. If God speaks, it will be accomplished. If we allow it, nothing can stop God's will. So if God spoke to us, no matter what the obstacles that appear before us, no matter what things Satan may put in front of us, no matter what he does to try to destroy us, he can't do it. He cannot do it. Don't be discouraged if it takes a while. Don't be discouraged if Satan is there. Don't allow him to do that. Be patient. Be patient and wait. We must trust. We must trust him. If God said it will be so, it will be so. But we're doubters, aren't we? We're doubters. How can he accomplish that? You know, how can he use me? All these questions and all these thoughts go through our heart, but we must trust. part of the definition of trust is to believe in the honesty, the integrity, and the justice of God. I'm adding the word God. But we must believe in His honesty and His integrity and His justice. To have confidence in Him. To be able to rely or depend on Him. To commit our lives to His care. If we trust, we allow God to do something without fear of the outcome. If I trust God and He said, I'm going to do this, then I don't have any fear of the outcome because guess who's in charge? It ain't me. It's God. And if God's in charge, I don't have to fear the outcome. God can accomplish it. He may say, you're going to do this, or I want you to do this. And I say, that's impossible. Moses argued with the Lord. You know, he said, I can't do that. I can't speak. I'm not a good leader. You know, well, God made him do it. He made him do it. And Moses could do it. He could do it. So we don't have any fear of the outcome. If we trust, we have no fear. We have a confident expectation or hope of the outcome. Trust God. It all, you know, really, our service to God comes down to that word, trust. We trust Him. We either trust Him or we don't. We'll get to points in your life. Maybe you've already been there. But we get to points in our life where we have to either trust God or not. It may look hopeless, but we trust. We either trust Him or we don't. You get out in the wilds of the jungle of Honduras or Nigeria or the Philippines, wherever we are. We have to trust. We have to trust God. It's a dangerous world. Dangerous countries. But God told us to go. We have to trust Him. Sometimes God may, in our eyes, seem pretty slow in preparing, seem pretty slow in giving us direction. But you know, sometimes He's using that time to prepare us. Teaching us, fine-tuning us, preparing us for the service that lies ahead. Maybe He's waiting, watching to see how we handle situations, to see how we handle adversity, disappointments, how we handle the things in life that could destroy us. But if He speaks, we must trust that He will accomplish His will. Not only individually, but in this gospel of Christ. Remember, His will is only effective in our life when we desire His will and desire for Him to accomplish it. That is our purpose in serving, to accomplish His goals and His will and not our own. 3 Nephi, chapter 5. So while we're waiting for God to perfect us, while we're waiting for God's direction, perhaps while we're waiting for His time to be made known, we may know what He wants, but we're just waiting for God to say, okay, now's the time. So what do we do in the meantime? There's something that we can do every day of our lives while we're preparing, while we're waiting. Something God has called us to do. And that's in the third Nephi, in the fifth chapter. And I'm going to read verses 60 through 63. Page 636. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I give unto you to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt shall lose its savor, wherewith shall the earth be salted? The salt shall be thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Salt. We're to be the salt of the earth. It's a preservative. It's a cleansing agent. You know what else salt does? Salt creates a thirst. Creates a thirst. We, as the Church of Christ, need to create a thirst in this world to hear the truth. We can be doing that every day. We don't have to go to foreign countries. We don't have to leave the block. We can do that every day. We can create a thirst to know the truth. Salt brings out goodness. We're to bring out the goodness of people in this world. Verse 61, verily, verily, I send you, I give unto you to be the light of this people. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Behold, do men light a candle and put it under a bushel? Nay, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before this people that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Light. Absence of darkness. It's the absence of darkness. We're to be that absence of darkness in this world. We're to be the light. To be opposed to the dark. To be an example for others. To show the way. Create a thirst in those that we come in contact with to know more about this gospel salvation. To know more about this God that we worship. To know more about God's purpose in their lives. Thank you for your attention.